You know, you want to work with somebody who is happy to be there, who brings that positive energy.
Everyone who's been part of Kennedy's, whether you're with us now or have moved on, has helped shape the firm into what it is today. Whether your time here was brief or spanned many years, you remain an important part of our story. I'm Anna Weiss, Global Relationship Development Director at Kennedy's, and this is the Kennedy's Alumni Network podcast. Today, we're diving into something people don't talk about often enough, which is leaving well, because moving on doesn't have to mean cutting ties. I'm joined by Judy Selby, former partner at Kennedy's, now a client and friend of the firm, to chat about what it means to leave on good terms and why staying connected can be a real win-win. Welcome to our second alumni podcast, Judy. I'm delighted you're here with us today. How are you?
I'm great, Anna. I'm so happy to be here with you. Thanks for the invitation.
So it's an absolute pleasure to have you with us today. And I'd love for you to tell everyone who's listening a little bit about yourself, you know, how you joined Kennedy's and a little bit about your life now.
Yeah, I joined Kennedy's in 2021. And I joined as part of the cyber group based in the New York office. And I was really excited about the opportunity to join, and in large part because of the global platform, because we all know cyber has no borders. And,
yeah.
And because of the existing team, but primarily because of the relationship, I mean, the reputation of the firm in the insurance industry.
Fantastic. And do you remember your very first day at Kennedy's and what it felt like to join?
Absolutely. I remember it really well because I was exactly 1 week out from a shoulder replacement.
Oh, wow.
And so I had a giant sling on my arm. And yeah, I was only 7 days post-op.
And, oh my goodness. Wow.
And I remember how nice everybody was to me because it was my right arm, which made, you know, typing and everything a bit challenging. And the head of HR filled out all my forms for me because she felt sorry for
Aww.
Me. So, yes, well, I remember it.
That's great to hear.
I remember it really yeah. well.
Fantastic. And aside from your first day, which obviously was quite a challenge for you personally dealing with all of that, do you have any other standout memories from your time at the firm that you want to share?
Yeah, so early days when I joined Kennedy's, the reception among my clients and my prospective clients was extremely positive. And, you know, very, very happy that I had chosen to go to Kennedy's, which they viewed as a great place for me to be. And so, you know, you can't really, you know, talk to clients, you know, in advance of a move like that. But
right.
once I landed and was able to have, you know, these kind of frank communications with clients and prospective clients, it was all very well received. So I was very happy about that.
That's great. And I know from the time you've been with Kennedy's, you were really doing some really great work and some brilliant opportunities, but obviously life took you in a new direction, and you're now an author, a best-selling author. I know that you also have been doing some other fantastic work. Yes, tell us a little bit about how you made that leap and what you're doing with that just now.
Yeah, well, I had practiced law for 32 years. I was counting my working during law school, I guess.
Every year counts, right?
Every year counts. And I worked hard, I got to tell you. But yeah, I kind of had this book living inside me. And you know, throughout my time at Kennedy's and even before Kennedy's, the feedback I routinely got from people I worked with, either junior people or even my peers, you know, at the partner level. Thank you for mentoring me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for coaching me. Thank you for giving me a strategy to get through this and that. And so it was never an official thing. I remember people coming in my office and saying, thank you. You have no idea what a difference you made in my career. And I remember always being a little kind of surprised because there was nothing official, you know. But what I decided to do was, you know, leverage all of this inside me, go into like become an official coach. I got certified as a coach. This book was, you know, dormant inside me, and getting the book written actually did not take me very long at all. And it maps out what I see are, you know, success strategies from either when you're thinking about going to law school or you're already in law school, all the way through to being a successful partner at a law firm. And some of the feedback I routinely get is that this book is not just for lawyers, that it's for more than just lawyers. But,
absolutely.
You know, I know. Yeah, read the book.
Yes, I've read it. And for anyone who is listening, you can pick this up at Amazon, I believe, but it is called The Untold Secrets to Thrive as a Lawyer, Even If You Didn't Go to Harvard or Yale, written by Judy in front of us here. And I was delighted when I heard that you'd written a book, and I was quick to purchase a copy of it. And I will say that it is filled with lots of pearls of wisdom. And what's really great about it is, obviously, Judy, I know of you as a cyber lawyer, a technical expert, but what I see in this book is also all these wonderful stories of leadership, mentorship, coaching, which, you know, is a really important part of our jobs as lawyers, our day-to-day, regardless of the stage of our career we're in, we can always learn more. And certainly from reading your book, it's filled with wonderful stories and secrets. And I do have to ask you, is there a particular secret that you wish more lawyers knew, or one little tidbit from the book that you would like to share with us today?
That's tough because I probably have two, but I'll go with one, and maybe I'll try to sneak in a second when you're not.
Please do.
But the first one, you know, is a story very, very early on in the book. And it was an experience I had as a very young lawyer. I believe I was a first year lawyer with a very senior partner at the firm who I'd been working with. And, you know, it was quite an honor to work with him, very, very well known insurance coverage lawyer. And so I had the opportunity to do all types of work with him, including trial work, which was amazing. But one Monday morning, I got to the office early, as usual. I was walking down the hall. He was walking the opposite way, and we kind of crossed in the hall. And he said, "Hey, Judy, how you doing?" I said, "Great, Doug, how are you?" And he stopped, and he said, "That's why I love working with you." And I said, "Why? What I do?" And he said, "Because you're always upbeat, you're always positive." And, you know, whenever I kind of grasped the situation in the firm, you know, I realized how lucky I was to work with him. Some people were a bit resentful. I found out later that I was working so much with him. But I think that was the key insight. You know, you want to work with somebody who is happy to be there, you know, who brings that positive energy, as opposed to, "Oh, it's another Monday. Oh, the weekend's so short," you know, whatever people would say. And it wasn't contrived when I said it. I mean, I was grateful to have the job. I was grateful to work with him.
Right.
Well, for a whole lot of other things. So that was a huge lesson that I learned very, very early on. And another lesson kind of revealed itself in the form of a distinction, I would say. When you look at certain attorneys who are happier in their jobs, seem to be happier in their lives, seem to be, you know, more balanced, physically, you know, fit, and, you know, lots of great client relationships, they all seem to have this ability and this desire to happily do things routinely that other lawyers just won't do.
Right.
Just don't feel like it.
Yeah.
You know, there's always, you know, "I'll do it tomorrow," that type of thing. And that's like the huge differentiator I found, is that the people who just put the excuses aside, do what they have to do, they, you know, show up at the networking event on the, you know, snowy March night, even though they don't know anybody in the room.
Right.
You know, yeah. And they just keep showing up and they're consistent. And to me, it's a huge differentiator.
Well, I think it's such a treat, isn't it? And it's an amazing feeling when you know that you're going somewhere with someone that looks at everything with a positive lens and can really see that the advantages of being there rather than, as you say, digging in their heels or not wanting to be present. And I think there is something about that also when you make the choice to move on from a firm, you know, which is, you know, you can leave a firm well, you can maintain your connections, and it can be a positive experience. And that's one of the themes that, you know, I think is really important in today's discussion, which is, you know, what advice would you give to someone who is leaving the firm and who wants to stay connected? Because those connections, they do matter. And I think, you know, you've hit on the nail on the head, which is, you know, being positive and enthusiastic about life is a huge part of maintaining that connection.
Yeah. And you know, I'll answer this in two different ways. We've seen some pretty public examples, not with Kennedy's, but, you know, out in the legal marketplace of, you know, usually newer lawyers who maybe have a bad experience at a law firm or something happened and they turn to social media and they rant and they rave about their old law firm or somebody they worked with who they didn't like. And it's such a terrible mistake because there's, you know, we always hear there's a lot of lawyers in the world, but it really is a small community. And there's, you know, for your own sake, it just doesn't make any sense to do that and get that type of reputation. I think that will stay with you as it goes forward. And because now we know, you know, any law firm would be crazy not to do a Google search and a social media
right.
search for anybody there, you know, even considering hiring. But, you know, I think that, you know, demonizing people, demonizing law firms, things like that is just a bad approach to life.
Right.
But, you know, a firm like Kennedy's, there are so many wonderful people there. And the relationships that I made were just, you know, so rock solid. And I miss people I work with. And I'm not just talking about the lawyers. You know, I'm talking about, you know, people in various other departments in the firm. You know, I'm thinking particularly of Janet in the, you know, the business development group. She and I had a call every single Friday morning for a long time.
Oh, wow.
And then I finally gave her a break and we switched to every other Friday morning. It was 8 o'clock.
That's when I snuck in and took that morning.
Well done. Well done. But, you know, strategizing about how to, you know, get the word out and grow the cyber insurance coverage practice and, you know, best ways to do that. And so, you know, just tremendous, tremendous people at the firm. And I knew that going into the firm, that I knew it was a rock solid, salt of the earth type of coverage firm, you know, my kind of people.
Right.
And so, you know, for me, it was very, very hard to, call my clients, some in particular who I've worked with for, you know, well over a decade. And then, you know, calling the people I needed to call at Kennedy's was quite challenging because there was nothing to do. I wasn't leaving to go to another firm. I wasn't leaving because of anything at the firm, but I felt like the firm had always been super supportive of me.
That's wonderful. And I think one of the topics that I really wanted to explore with you today is, you know, how to make your connections count and the importance of connections and whether there's been any particular connection throughout your career that has been pivotal. I mean, you mentioned Doug, and I think that's been part of your journey. But if you can share with us any other key connections that you've had and why they've played such an important role, I'm sure it'd be great to hear.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story, and it ties into some other, I think, important issues for lawyers to think about. I can't remember the year, probably 2012 or so. I wrote a fascinating article, a nationwide review of TCPA, you know, the anti-spam law.
Yeah.
TCPA coverage law. So it was a 50-state kind of survey. And when I say it was fascinating, I mean, it's hard to imagine a drier topic than that. And so, but I was working with a very young, very energetic associate. He was just terrific. And he helped me with the article. And then he said, he was very witty. And I said, Zach, come on, help me come up with, we got to come up with a great name for this article instead of a nationwide review of TCPA coverage law. And he came in the next day and he says, I got it. And I said, what is it? And he said, there was a new hit song at the time called Call Me Maybe.
Ah, yeah.
And so we named, that's what we named the article. And that article went about as viral as any insurance lawyer article ever. Meanwhile, we never generated any client work from it. So it was a little disappointing considering all the buzz around it, all the likes, shares, reposts, all those metrics. And then 18 months later, I kid you not, 18 months later, I got a phone call. And it was a woman at an insurance company. And she said, we got this claim in. Nobody knows what to do with it. We called our usual coverage lawyers. They had no idea what it was. And then we Googled it and we found you. And that client is my number one, has been, and is still, but frankly, my number one client after all these years.
Brilliant.
We're very, very close personal friends now, which I think is important, you know, to build those, you know, one of the recurring themes of the book is to approach your work as a relationship and not a transaction or series of transactions. And that's how it is with them. And it's wonderful. So that's a very, very significant connection.
I love that story too, because it does hit the point that when we go out and put ourselves into a networking opportunity or we build our relationships, we shouldn't be approaching them expecting that something's going to land immediately. It's really about building that relationship over time, building trust and getting to know people. One of the things that I see immediately when I log in on a daily basis to LinkedIn is there's Judy with her news today, or there's something that you've very intentionally shared with your followers. And I think it is about being present and just being there to share information or thoughts or whatever it may be. There's always some value in what you're sharing on LinkedIn. And it would be great, I think, to share a little bit about, you know, how you have used LinkedIn to help you build your own personal brand and any advice you have to anyone who's thinking about using it more than they do currently.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't tell you what a game changer LinkedIn has been in my career. I mean, 100%. The number one tool I use for not just branding and business development, but relationship building and sharing things. You know, my whole approach to social media, my whole approach to being a lawyer, and now what I'm doing, you know, in my next steps is to approach everything with mentality of service. And you are looking to help other people. And so when it comes to what I post online, you know, every now and then there's kind of the humble brag, you know, like really excited to speak at this conference or that conference. But and we have to do those types of things. But I always look to be of service and to give value to the reader. And that is consistently the feedback that I get, which is so important to me. And it started a long, long time ago when I first started doing a lot of writing about cyber insurance, and when nobody knew what the coverage was, you know, back early days, nobody was hiring any coverage lawyers or anything. And right. I was putting out so much thought leadership on what the coverage is all about, you know, because it's a very complicated policy form, probably the most complicated or one of the most complicated on the market because of the first party and third party components of it. But you know, my test in writing an article was always, if I find this issue interesting, I think other people will as well. And that remains my test every single day, whether I'm curating content or generating my own content. And then, you know, as the years went by and I got involved in more and more cases that, you know, were, you know, disputed matters or, you know, contested types of issues, you have to be more careful about what you write about and you're representing clients, and you have to keep those issues always very top of mind. And then, you know, so I adopted in many cases, just a curation strategy and, you know, sharing other people's content, you know, an interesting article, an interesting study. And again, the test was, will this be helpful to my clients? Concurrently with that, sending articles and content and my view of things coming around the corner that I don't want to post publicly, sending them to my clients and saying, here, take a look at this, take a look at that. You know, you might want to bring this to the attention of the underwriters. And in cyber, as you might imagine, that's like every other minute, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big part of, you know, being a good lawyer in a cutting edge space is keeping your client, you know, aware of what you see. Anybody can tell them what's already happened, but you want to tell them what you think has a very good chance of happening or might happen, might impact them and how they can best position themselves for it. Maybe it's a different underwriting strategy. Maybe it's a different pricing strategy. Maybe it's new policy wordings, you know, to cover something, to not cover something, et cetera.
Right. It's almost like a way, isn't it, of sort of taking the temperature of what our peers, clients, colleagues, friends are saying and sharing in the market, isn't it, beyond what you can read about in more technical 100%. Journals.
Like if there's something big, if there's something big in the cyber world, I find it on LinkedIn before I find it anyplace else. And then an interesting point makes me think of an old story. This was not my story, but I heard somebody from a major law firm speaking at a conference, and she was trying to convince a more senior partner at the firm that he should start getting involved, you know, using LinkedIn more. Mm-hmm. And he had zero interest. He had his, you know, he was a stodgy old guy and he had his book and everything was great. And then she said, she went to see him one day and said, let me show you something. And she takes out her laptop and she showed his client interacting on LinkedIn with his competitors. And then they were like, oh, great seeing you at the conference. Oh, I loved your panel. Those were great insights you shared.
Right.
I was like, how do I sign up?
Yeah, this is the reality, isn't it? To some degree, it's important to have both a virtual presence as well as an in-person presence. And there's another aspect to our chats over the years that I always find valuable, which is, you know, for some people, LinkedIn doesn't feel comfortable, you know, sharing virtually, or as you said, you know, some people feel that it's bragging rights or it's uncomfortable, and in different ways it isn't really. It's just sharing inside information or, you know, making sure that you're seen. But the attendance at in-person events is equally as important. And for other people, that's more comfortable because they feel better in person than in the virtual world. But for others, it's easier to be online than in person. And we've spoken before about, you know, some tips that you've given to younger lawyers who feel uncomfortable about going to in-person networking events and what kind of icebreakers they might use or how they should approach walking into that room of unknown faces. I'd love for you to share the same stories you've spoken with me about previously, because I think they're really valuable.
Thanks, Ada. Yeah, in fact, I have, you know, in my newsletter, I'm not sure if you subscribe to it, I have a whole, like, you know, a game plan. I think it comes out every other week, whole game plan of how to attend conferences well. And so if anybody wants that, please reach out to me. I'd be happy to shoot it over to you. But
Great. You've
already hit on some of the key issues, you know, preparation. You know, don't just show up, but be prepared. you know, it's sometimes hard, as we all know, to have an attendance list of, you know, who's going to actually be at any given conference. But you can usually get a speakers list if there are speakers at the event, and do your homework on the individual speakers, and have kind of a few, you know, if you don't know them, have kind of a few questions, you know, in the can that you could be ready if you have the opportunity to speak with the speakers. And you and I probably, I think you do it as well. We've spoken at tons and tons of conferences. It's very flattering when somebody comes up and is familiar with your work and who you are and asks an insightful question. So that's one good way to break the ice. But like anything in life, preparation always reduces tension. It always increases your confidence. But the second point, which maybe should be the first point, is, again, you go in with a mindset of service. You go there looking to give and not get. And so what are you looking to give when you walk into a cocktail party and everybody's just standing around? You know, you might want to, you know, walk over to somebody who's by themselves, you know, and introduce yourself and say hi and ask some, you know, maybe again, have some questions ready, you know, and, you know, just interesting questions based on the type of event it is, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Put your phone away. Your phone should not even be visible. Do not even have it in your hand. Don't pretend, you know, don't be the guy standing in the corner like, yeah, you know, the grand high poobah is about to come and meet me here. I'm very busy. So don't be that person. You know, I have found over the years, people are very welcoming at events like that. When people just walk up to them and say, hi, I'm so-and-so. But, you know, the more homework you do, the better. But, you know, if you're looking to learn, to be of service, see what value you can add to this person's life versus what can you get from them?
I think we'll change it up a little bit, and we have some questions I always like to ask in any of these podcasts, which is a kind of quick fire round where you have to just give the first thing that comes to mind, the answer, whatever is the tip of your tongue. So it's supposed to be fast and fun. Don't worry about the answer. So I'm just going to throw some questions at you and tell me what you think. So coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee or tea? Oh, tea.
Tea. Great.
I drink so much tea. It's ridiculous.
Much better for you, I'd imagine, than all the caffeine and coffee.
Well, I only drink black tea.
Oh, okay. So still a little bit, but I don't think you need too much more energy.
And that's why I love going to London, because they know how to make their tea there. And when you say tea, they don't say, you know, hot tea or
a little bit of lemon on the side. No,
it's you know what they're exactly. doing. Yeah.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. And I'm curious about this one. Early bird or night owl?
I am a ridiculously early bird.
I guess that would be the answer. Full of energy straight when the alarm goes off, I can imagine.
No alarm. No alarm.
Really?
Zero alarm.
Your body automatically gets you up very early.
Sometimes earlier, oftentimes earlier, but certainly no later than 4.
Wow. 4. Wow. Very impressed. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I love it. I just wake up automatically. It's my own rhythm, I guess. And I don't fight it. I love it. You know, if I wake up, you know, if I were to wake up at 7, I feel like my day was half over. And first thing I do is I have a whole routine of things that I do every single day. And they involve, you know, first off, I make my cup of tea, of course, and my dog is still sleeping, so I don't disturb him. But I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of the things I talk about in my book to get my mindset right. I do a lot of the gratitude things. I listen to really positive content from podcasts and a certain email list that I'm subscribed to. And I really kind of get myself going. And then I have this sheet that I created myself that is dividing the parts of your life into six main themes, and under each one, so there's relationships, finances, fitness, health, spiritual, personal growth, and career, 3 goals for the year, and 3 habits to support those goals. And when you read this every morning, it really keeps you on track. So this is what I do when I wake up early and then get some exercise in, because if you wake up, if I wake up later, then I'm in reactive mode. People are emailing, people are texting, you need to get things done for other people. So this is my time, and it really enables me to, you know, bring all this positivity and drive that we've been talking about. And so I'm very happy that I'm just naturally wired that way. I wouldn't change it for the world. And I love the quiet. I love the quiet, you know, especially now, 5:30, there's that little bit of daylight. And so we're out at the park, we're doing our 3 miles every morning. And, you know, we've lived a day by the time most people get up complaining that now they're late and they got to run to do this and do that.
And the book that you've recommended the most.
There's a book called It Takes What It Takes by a wonderful wonder. I never met him, but seems like a wonderful guy. I saw him interviewed many times, and he passed away at a very young age. The name of the book is It Takes What It Takes. The author's name was Trevor Moad, and he espouses a theory called neutral thinking. And so it's not getting too high, not getting too low. And it ties in well with my own personal philosophy. So let's take an example when things are going badly. So things are going badly for somebody, and, you know, a lot of people react and say, why does this always happen to me? You know, types of questions like that, that do not move you forward, that do not move the ball at all. In fact, I would argue it pushes you back. Because when you say something like that, you start thinking, you know, why does this always happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm a loser, because I'm whatever. And, you know, you write this list. Whereas if you say, what's one step I can take to make this situation better or to move in the right direction? So, you know, it fires off different things in your mind, and you automatically start thinking, yeah, what can I do? You know, what is it? So stop asking why, start asking what.
Mm-hmm.
What's one thing I can do? What's one action I can take to improve this situation? And you always find one. Imagine like a terrible situation, you know, something horrible happens in your house, and you're like, why does this always happen to me? Or what's one thing I can do to stop this flooding right now?
Right.
Yeah, maybe I should turn off the water thing, you know, in the house, or, you know, whatever it may be. And so I really always recommend that book.
And then finally, what one word springs to mind when you think of Kennedys?
Opportunity.
Oh, fantastic. I love that. Yeah, that's really good. Before, we've had global, friendly, now opportunity. And I think those all kind of go together in a beautiful mix.
Well, that was a big part of the opportunity, you know, that global platform and the expertise. There's so much expertise in Kennedy's. And I think it's incumbent on lawyers to figure out what their partners and their colleagues do and what they're good at and how you can help them grow their practice and their brand. And then, of course, what they can do to help yours. So much opportunity at Kennedy's. I'll tell you a really, really quick story. There's someone with an insurance company who, you know, I knew coming up the ranks, but she was very, very, very junior. And so many lunches, you know, we would go out to lunch all the time and building this relationship for years and years and years. And then we never had the opportunity to work together, though. And as she, you know, became higher, higher up, like head of claims type of position. And then one day I wrote an article about a big issue in cyber insurance. and I posted it, you know where. And then later that day, she called me and she said, oh, I saw that article you wrote today. We have that issue. You know, can you help us with it? And it was so impactful to me. And I was thrilled because I love her. It was great. But I was like, after all these years, like you weren't thinking of me necessarily, maybe if she sat and thought about it, but because I was right there that day.
Right.
Yeah. So it was a very interesting, it's a human thing. And so keeping the relationships and the opportunities for collaboration or assisting each other front and center, it would be very helpful.
Great. And I've seen that already, you know, just by sharing the fact that we have the network and seeing all the different paths and directions people have taken. And it's absolutely fascinating to learn from those different paths, what people have done, and to be able to share that with others and introduce them to people both at Kennedy's and who've moved on, who are alumni of Kennedy's and through that network. Judy, if you had 5 minutes with somebody to grab a nice tea with that has just started at the firm right now, what would you tell them? What would your advice to them be?
My advice would be to open your eyes beyond your immediate work that you're doing and you know, you have to focus on your work. I don't mean like you doing a good job is table stakes.
Yeah.
But recognize that, you know, long-term success and fulfillment is based on more than that. And study the firm, study the people there, come into the office, meet people, understand the firm culture, take advantage of the opportunities that the firm offers. Some of the opportunities are really quite good, you know, to maybe go work at another office for a period of time, things of that nature. And, you know, make yourself aware of these things, leverage the opportunities, and like anything in life, really just take advantage of it to the full and be, you know, approach it all with an attitude of curiosity and I would say gratitude, you know, that you're in a firm with a global platform and a great reputation.
So, couple final thoughts. How do you see the role of personal branding changing for lawyers over the next 5 to 10 years?
That's an interesting question. Changing over the next 5 to 10 years. You know, I think it'll be just a necessity instead of a nice to have. And right now I would say I believe it's a little bit more than a nice to have, but we all know plenty of lawyers who don't have one and are doing just fine. But I think it will transition into more of that and it'll be much more expected. And again, I think the people you see really succeeding, and not just lawyers on LinkedIn, are the people who just don't report on this happened yesterday, but the ones who are reporting on what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The ones who are sharing that kind of good information with their clients and their network and their audience. I think it will go more that way. I hope it does.
So on a more positive note and thinking about, you know, the fact that we're always optimistic and cheerful cheerleaders here, final thought for you, Judy, what does success mean to you now?
Success, yeah, that definition definitely has changed over the years. I think success is, and this ties in with kind of my personal mission as a human being, success is doing the best you can every day. So, you know, maybe success for one person would be to make $1 million. Success for somebody else might be to make $1 billion. And so are you utilizing your potential? Are you maximizing, you know, your God-given gifts to the best of your ability? And to me, you know, when you ask yourself that question, I would recommend people do that every night. You know, did I give my best today? This is not to be confused with grinding it out every day, because your best
right.
for any day may be, did I get myself some much needed rest? You know, we are integrated beings, and the physical component and the mental components are very, very important, more so than ever. But that's how I would measure success.
That's fantastic. And I think you're a great example, Judy, of someone who's really followed a non-linear career path, who sees success as more than what they might have seen it, you know, 5, 10, 20 years ago or longer when you were starting out, that, you know, you can have a career at Kennedy's. You don't need to follow a linear path. You know, people like yourself and others that we know in our network have gone on to do a whole world of different things. Writing books, running their own businesses, you name it. And, you know, what I love to see in this kind of discussion is that success can mean something different to every person. And it's not just following that linear trajectory, which I think was something of the past that used to be more normal. Nowadays, we are celebrating, you know, hugely successful stories of different career paths. And I'm delighted that you are one of those examples. It has been an absolute pleasure, Judy, talking with you today. I know we talk regularly, but it's fantastic to be able to share our conversation with anyone listening. Thank you so much. It's been brilliant hearing your perspective on what it means to leave well and to stay connected. And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us on the Kennedy's Alumni Network podcast, which is connecting the past and empowering the future. If you enjoyed this episode, take a look at the others, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and most importantly, please do join the Kennedy's Alumni Network by visiting kennedyslaw.com. We'd love to stay connected. Thank you.